from Washington, this is VOA News. Pakistani Taliban claims responsibility for deadly Karachi airport attack. Crucial gas talks between Ukraine and Russia. I'm Ray Kugel reporting from Washington. The Pakistani Taliban is claiming responsibility for that deadly siege, which killed 28 people, including 10 gunmen, at Pakistan's busiest airport. Heavily armed militants infiltrated an old terminal at Karachi's Jinnah International Airport, leading to a five-hour gun battle with police and soldiers that ended early Monday. The gunmen, some wearing military uniforms, shot their way into a facility used mainly for cargo and executive flights before being killed by police or blowing themselves up. Several security personnel were killed, along with four airport staff members. No passengers were hurt. A Pakistani Taliban spokesman says the attack came in response to recent military strikes against militant strongholds along the Afghan border and last year's killing of the group's leader, Hakimullah Massoud, in a suspected U.S. drone strike. Two bombs targeting Kurdish political party offices in northern Iraq have killed at least 30 people. A car bomb blew up at a checkpoint near the offices of President Jalal Talabani's Patriotic Union of Kurdistan party. A short time later, a truck packed with explosives was detonated beside a wall. The attack was the second in as many days against the party's offices. An al-Qaeda splinter group known as the Islamic State of Iraq in the Levant claimed responsibility for the Sunday attack. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad is granting a general amnesty for prisoners in the country less than a week after his re-election. The amnesty commutes some death sentences, reduces jail terms for many offenses, and allows sick and elderly prisoners to be released. It is not clear how the amnesty will affect those in prison for activities related to the uprising, which began in 2011. A senior Iranian official says nuclear talks with the West may have to be extended another 6 months if no deal is reached by the July 20th deadline. Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi is quoted by Iran's official news agency after the first day of direct talks in the United States in Geneva. The two-day meeting is aimed at preparing both sides for next week's international negotiations in Vienna. Ukraine's foreign ministry says it's reached a mutual understanding with Russia on key stages of a peace plan for eastern Ukraine. A ministry statement Monday offered no details after a second day of negotiations in Kiev, mediated by the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. Ukraine and Russia, along with a representative of the European Union, sat down in Brussels Monday to resolve a natural gas dispute. VOA's Gabe Joslow reports.
The heart of the issue is a dispute between the two countries over how much Ukraine should pay for Russian gas. Moscow has threatened to cut off supplies as early as Tuesday if Ukraine does not pay off its debts, a move that would also disrupt flows to Europe. In April, Russia nearly doubled the price of gas to Ukraine to $480 per 1,000 cubic meters, a decision that followed the ousting of Ukraine's former Russian-backed president Viktor Yanukovych. Russia also angered Ukraine with the annexation of Crimea in March, while Russian fighters have been seen among rebels involved in a separatist uprising in eastern Ukraine. Moscow denies the allegations. Gabe Joslow, VOA News, Kyiv.
Italian naval authorities say they intercepted more than 5,000 migrants from boats in the Mediterranean over the weekend. Video on Monday shows the Italian Navy rescuing migrants from small open-top boats that were tightly packed with men, women, and children. Italy says more than 40,000 migrants, mostly from Africa and the Middle East, have reached its shores this year. Libya's Supreme Court ruled that Parliament's election of Ahmed Mitiq as prime minister last month was unconstitutional. Mitiq says he'll abide by the court's decision, and that leaves interim Prime Minister Abdullah Tani in charge. Brazilian police fired tear gas Monday at protesters supporting striking Sao Paulo subway workers, snarling transportation in the country's biggest city just 3 days before it hosts the opening World Cup match. The five-day-old labor dispute could extend until Thursday when Brazil opens a competition against Croatia at a stadium about 20 kilometers from central Sao Paulo. Subway workers are looking for a pay increase just above 12%. The government has other ideas. The subway company is countering with an 8.7% offer. And economic forecasters say they expect the American economy to move at a better pace in the coming months. I'm Ray Kugel in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.